Testing. 1, 2, 3. Which voice should I use? Should I use like the nighttime? Or should I be like day?
You know what? Or, like, I love her already, guys. This is Suzanne Kelechi Watson.
Oh my gosh, you said it so beautifully.
Cause that's an Igbo name. That's Igbo. But okay. Yes. Because at first I was like, is she a Naija sister as well? You know, I was about to claim you. I said, I know you're Jamaican, so I'm gonna give you what the wagwan.
Right, yeah, you're gonna hit
but me. But where did the Kelechi come in?
Just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real.
Real, 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 real,
real. Because, you know, me, Roz and I, who I co-host the show with, Roz and I, we're both Nigerian and we're both Igbo. So where did the Igbo middle name in Susan Kelechi Watson come from?
Well, a wise gentleman named Isiaba. Why he got to be wise? That's his fault.
Stereotype. He was a wise old owl who sat outside the hut.
Yeah.
Who sat outside the village hut.
The village prophet said to me. Okay. Let me fall out of that real quick. But no, we were doing a play. This is like, my gosh. Oh, God. When did I take on this name? I think I was just out of college and we were doing a play. And he said to me, no, I said to him, I said, you know what? I was going through that phase of like, Susan is a very white name to me. And I thought, I don't know if this name really represents who I am. Mm. You know, when you're like looking for things that identify you. And I said, I would love to have an African name. Now, mind you, I grew up in a family where like my cousin's name is Ngosi and like Tafari and like Meseretti and Falana.
Cousins like and traveled like... To like West Africa?
No, I don't know. Well, one of my cousin's parents were Rastafari. Okay. And then, you know, and we're Jamaican and Trinidadian. And so, and then my family, it's like Paul, Rich, John, and Sue. And like my closest cousin's like Kwese. And like, you know, there's all these beautiful. And I just thought,
so you resonate with Beth. You're like, Susan.
Yeah, Beth.
I get it.
And, and so he named me, and we had this whole African naming ceremony. I mean, people like laid hands on me. I got picked up. There was a circle that went around me. I don't.
So it was so simple. It was like the circle of life.
It was. And by the end of it, he said, "And your name is Kelechi." And I was like,
"And it means thank God.
It means all praises to God or precious light from God." And I prefer the all praises to God. So that's, you know, when people ask, I say that's what it means, because that's I will rock with that any day.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean? That's it.
And names are so powerful.
Yeah,
names are so powerful. My full name is Yvonne Anwali Adeze Oji, which translates to Archer of Happiness, Daughter of a King, Strong Oak.
All right, so Archer of Happiness.
I'm a comedian.
Yes, because so you have thrown that comedy. I feel like you've, you know what I mean? Like an archer?
Yes.
Yes. And then what's the next part of it?
Daughter of a King. I was born on the same day that my grandfather was installed as the Ogwefi of our village, which is like the king of the village.
Literally, daughter of the king. Yes.
And also like Jesus, I believe in God.
Right, so, me too.
Daughter of a King.
Right.
And then Orgy, Strong Oak.
Right. Which? And I saw an oak tree on my way in.
He was like, I'm going to connect.
I'm going to connect every dot.
I make sure to live by an oak tree wherever I go. I didn't know there was an oak tree.
It was. That's how I knew it was the right house.
Guys, you are in for a treat. I am here with the beautiful. Like, listen, when I saw this woman, I said, so is this, did you just come from set? I know y'all had a finale. I don't understand. Why is your skin popping? Like, look like little mama, her lip gloss is popping. Susan's whole face is popping
now. This
like,
is nice.
I just, you know, like.
She's just trying to get me to stay all day.
No, you know the movie Face Off where the dude went crazy and he was like, I just want to take his face off. And they were like, no more drugs for that dude right there. I feel that was a very like intense very specific movie reference. So if you didn't see the movie Face Off, you don't know what I'm talking about. But Susan, you're glowing.
Thank you.
I don't know. Y'all, when you hear this, this will be after the premiere. So we'll take this the day after the premiere. Is this the glow from the This Is Us premiere, just knowing the first season was that amazing?
Well, you know, we wrapped it up last night in this really, really lovely way. They had this whole event, you know, and people came out to the DGA, and it was a room full of folks that I'm not sure, you know, some of it was critics, some of it was, you know, fans and all that kind of stuff. And And the whole experience for me has been so surreal. People keep saying, how's it feel? How's it feel? The answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
It won't kind of drop in yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm still sort of floating above it, in it, around it, sort of observing it with everybody else, mm-hmm. kind of like so ultra grateful for it. But maybe that's just how it feels. I don't know. It just feels very still surreal to
me. Because,
you
know, I think it's so interesting when people have that, like, that role, that, because you've been acting for a while.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't, this is not your first time. And
right.
anybody who watches this can know, like, this child was the prom. This, she, that girl good. That girl good right there. That, you know, the Coming to America you, that right. girl good. And so, but it's just so interesting when the world, like, literally the uptick mm-hmm. of it, like, has been so embraced across the board. I see the Instagram memes of just like, you know, like the Get Out tears, like the movie Get Out, you know, when they're doing the little tea and it's like the black dude is just like crying.
Right.
It's like I see the memes, it's like, this is me watching This Is Us every day. Just like the tears, you can't help them from flowing. And I don't think you guys, my friend Kayo Yeagan writes on the show, and I don't think the writers purposely go in there thinking, how do I make people cry more?
I don't think so. You know, and last night it was funny because they were saying, our two new showrunners, Isaac and Elizabeth, they were saying that it was like the most depressing, sad writer's room they'd ever been in. Everybody was telling the worst, the saddest. It was like, it's like group therapy. And then next door, Dan's other show Pitch was going on,
yes.
and they'd be walking by their writers' room like, hey, we going to the Dodgers game, right. out. And everybody in their room.
Shout out to Pitch. My roommate Esther Lou Weathers writes for Pitch. So.
Oh, okay, yes. And then the This Is Us writers' room is everybody's in tears. Like, okay, have fun.
So it was a free therapy session for about a couple weeks.
I think so. And then they had all these people come in who specialized in any topic that we're talking about.
Wow.
So people who were dealing with weight loss and struggling with weight all their life, they had them come in and talk to the writers. They had people, a black woman who'd been adopted by a white family and had written a book about what that is. They had her come in and talk to the writers. They had any type of issue that we were trying to tackle, they had those people come in. And so it was very heavy, sad, and depressing in that writer's room for a while.
Which I think is amazing because that makes sense because like it feels so real.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the weight loss of it all, you're just like, yo, I'm here because these meetings seem so real. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm over here, what, the size more than six, between a 4 and an 8, don't judge me, and I'm trying to give up carbs.
I'm surprised it was that much.
Just I don't know, because I don't
your
know
body what is, yes
girl, I don't
very
know.
tight.
I'm a tomboy, so I'm like, I'm a 10. My size is like, you're a sample size. I'm like,
okay,
well, is the sample a big sample, is it a big 8? You know, and I talked about giving up carbs on our second episode, and I'm just like, I know what that's like when I see a frozen Snicker bar. I'm like, but I want it.
Right.
I want
right.
it. I can only imagine, you know, like what Kate was going through.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she has to go to camp, and then she's in this relationship with this dude who's like, yo, you lose weight, I'm here for you all day, but I'm about to eat this cake though. And it's just like,
something
that don't work.
Yeah, they unequally yoked.
Do not be unequal. God, you better speak to her. Preach to the people. So I think that's why America and the world over really has taken to the show
mm-hmm.
because of that authenticity. It feels real. It feels like I loved in the beginning, in the pilot episode where he said, we have 3 cribs.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking them 3 babies. You know, it's like, I don't know how we're going to, and that's such a real thing. It's like, because what's not going to happen is that third crib be the reminder of the child
there
we
you
lost.
Go. That's it.
You know what I mean?
But so, that's it.
But that's such a real, like, I don't know how we're going to do this.
Right.
But we take them 3 babies.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a, ooh, you know, you would think, would someone really do it? Yes, because the third crib is it.
Yes.
Who's going to break down the third crib?
Right. The vulnerability of that moment, if like, realizing your child is gone.
Oof.
And you're so open in that moment. You know what I mean? That, like, that seems like a good idea. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that seems like heaven sent, somehow this was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make sense. Like, you get it. And I don't think anybody's really questioned that part of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm watching the show, and, you know, there is a moment where I'm like, I want to be mad at Mandy Moore's character. Like, mm-hmm. that was selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to the episode where she says, that was selfish of me. And it's just like, oh man, you know what? You can't even be mad. It's not like she didn't own it. Because, you know, there's some parents who are like, I don't understand the problem.
Right.
I protected you.
Right.
He was a crackhead. It's like, how? That was still his father. You know, like, but it was, at no point, what I love is the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can feel one thing and then in the next minute be like, you don't know what you would do in that situation.
Right.
She did the best she could. Like, even when Randall goes up to the door and he has his list of like, well, I'm mad.
Right.
And it's just like, I'm not going to tell that to my mama.
Right. You know? Yeah. And I'm just going to, somehow or another, I think the part of us that connects with the most that is the part that goes, you know what? I probably might have done the same thing. You know what I mean? If given the same set of circumstances, I might have done the same thing.
But also, how fear motivates us, right?
Yeah.
She was afraid because she was like, yo, you've been asking about your black dad. If your black dad who's suddenly doing well comes back in your picture, are you going to forget about your white mom?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Which is,
because it's sort of, that back in the back of your mind, it's sort of like it always trumps it. That black is always going to trump the fact that just because he is of your, it's going to trump whatever I did for these past 15, 16 years when she first wanted to tell him, it's going to trump it. You know what I mean?
The end.
The end, yeah.
So, but your character, Beth, mm-hmm. is, I'm telling you, Beth and Randall are relationship goals. Like, I'm almost, it's like, how are you going to be jealous of a fictitious relationship? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm jealous, and I'm just like, but if I had a Beth, I would do the same thing. Like, look how she talks to her. She's like, they just know each other. They speak each other's language.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You all have a rhythm that is, it's just so beautiful. Now, you know, you are the anchor in your household.
Yeah.
In that you uphold, you uplift, you support, you mellow out, you do all the things that a helpmate is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is, you know, ball girl magic. We like to tie in sports with whatever it is what we're trying to do. And so I would say if Beth was on a basketball team.
All right, if she was,
mm-hmm. you know, did Beth ball? I don't know her backstory. She a ball out here
Beth
in these streets?
Beth goes hard in these streets.
Beth goes hard in the paint.
Right. Beth was at the Rutgers.
With the and one?
Yeah, just
the
and one.
Maybe at the Rutgers.
Yes.
Now, like, first of all, I love your accent. I love your accent because it's like, is she from Brooklyn? Is she Brooklyn? Like, all day till I don't know. DMX comes out of me, but he's from Yonkers.
Brooklyn all day.
All day.
Every day.
Get at me, son. But, like, I hear you're, you lived in New York?
Yeah, yeah. I'm from New York.
You're from New York. Okay, so I love that the show is based in New York and you get to have that New York accent because I was like, yo, she a real one. Beth is refined, time. But she might cut you.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it. So if Beth was on the basketball team.
Okay.
Is she getting the Sixth Man of the Year award?
Sixth Man of the Year. Got it.
Or is she the real MVP?
You the real MVP.
You know, because the Sixth Man is, like, the league's best performer coming off
the bench.
Coming off the bench.
Right.
So is she supporting, best supporting?
Right.
Is she like, nah, I'm the real MVP?
Huh. That is good. You know what? I think with the way that the show is set up, most likely folks would say she's the sixth man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, yeah. Because I don't know if people expected it. I think people were like watching the big three and then Beth kind of comes off the bench in a way to support her husband. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's how that's set up. But, and you know what? Maybe Beth would say that too. I don't know if she sees herself as the MVP.
What would Susan say?
Oh, what would I say? Let me see. What would I say?
What would Susan say of Beth?
Oh, I would say that Beth is an MVP.
Because
I love her. You know what? I love her. I think she's good people. And I think she does things without complaining in a way. Because she's... In a way, she doesn't complain because I think she's able to be so honest. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So she kind of voices it as she goes. I don't think she's the kind of person who's going to, like, walk away from the situation and murmur and complain about it after the fact.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I think she kind of is like, all right, well, yes, I'll be here for this. Let me tell you how I feel about it. You know what I mean? And yes, I will be here for this.
And that, honestly, I think that you and Randall, that Beth and Randall share is so poignant. I remember the episode I Call Marriage.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know who, which of the writers thought about this in the room. I know Kay Oyegun wrote the episode. What up, Kay? Yes. Fellow Nigerian.
Hello, Kay. What Kay up, killed though? That. Yeah, yeah.
But it's just Kay. Like, I want to call marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, I call marriage.
Well, my brother hit me up on that episode. He hit me up and he was like, I have a little problem with you. Oh. I said, what's up? He said, that man was just trying to make his money. I know how he feels, man. Why are you stopping from making his money, man? That's a deal he needed to. I know how he feels, man. I've been there, you know. And I was like, dude, but sometimes, you know. He was like, nah, he needed that job. He needed that sale. And I said, I hear you. But that made it even better to me, knowing that there's a side of people who were like, oh, who come torn on. Between. Yes. We know he needed to get out there. We know he needed to do that. But there's the side that's like, look, this yo daddy.
Hey.
These are kids.
Listen.
I got a job. I didn't ask for this. You know? And I'm the one handling the most of it right now. I'm going to need you to come home.
And this is how I don't break down, because I'm supporting all of this.
Right.
So you know what? I have a trump card. Now, when I watch that episode, I'm thinking like, yo, I'm taking notes. I'm about to call marriage in my relationship. Whenever I get one, Jesus, are you listening?
Yes,
do you hear me, Lord?
On the main line.
So do you ever take notes from Beth? Like, you know, like, do you? Because, you know, I know you're single and I know you're
I'm in a relationship.
Ooh, you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
What you want to know?
I mean, is this a Ball Girl Magic exclusive? Okay.
How did y'all
meet?
We met, first of all, we met at a friend's, like, it was a listening party.
Ooh.
Like, I had a friend who at one point was doing, she had a little girls group and she had a listening party and we met there. And, yeah, he was interested. He's going to hate this story.
Ooh.
But he was interested and I was like, you know.
Were you feeling him? Were you like, okay, physically attractive?
I actually was feeling him like, I thought he was real cool. Like, I always thought he was a cool dude. Anytime I got around him, I felt like I could completely be myself.
Is he in the industry?
He is. He's an actor, too. Yeah.
Oh, we gonna talk about that, too, later. Because what's that like, dating an actor? Because did you want to date somebody in the industry?
No, but I feel like this. I always felt like this. Because people are like, don't date an actor, don't do this. But I feel like, you know what? If I was a doctor and somebody said, don't date anyone in the hospital, and I spend 18 hours of the day at the hospital, what I'm supposed to do?
Because
the other 7 hours, I'm asleep. You know what I mean? So I kind of said to myself, if this is where my main focus is, I have to be open to the fact that I will find somebody in this industry who's sane that I can date.
See, that's the part, the sane part.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you ask me, should you date a comedian? I'd be like, girl, run. The, you know, and I told God when I started doing comedy, I said, the minute that I am unhappy and get on stage trying to make other people happy, get me off.
Right.
But there are a lot of people who process their pain through the stage. And so but like, ain't nobody helping you though. Like, you haven't gotten the help. So it's like, I don't say all comics are unstable, but there's a good majority of comics that, hey, let's pray for them right now. Like, let's bow our head in prayer.
Yes.
So it's just like, I'm like, I don't know. But then also, like, when you think of you're an actor dating an actor, what we do is so personal and so emotionally draining and so soul-bearing.
It really is.
You have a bad audition one day. You don't want to come home to your dude talking about something. Hey, babe, you know, my audition today. What about me?
Right.
I need to go first.
Right.
So I call marriage. I call me first. How about that? Or like, you book and he don't. And it's just like, dang.
Well, those are the things, you know what, that'll show you if this is someplace that you need to be. Seriously. It'll show you quick.
Yeah.
It'll show you quicker than other relationships. Because if I book, let's say, and you're not really happy, you know what I mean? Or it's like, I'm talking about it, but the conversation quickly changes to what
and you
want to talk about.
For me
that's something it'll show you its true colors. You know what my guy keeps quoting Jay-Z. He's like, when you cut the grass, the snakes show. He said, you know what I mean? He said, he keeps quoting that. And I think, you know, and those are the things, like, you know, when the grass gets cut and the snakes show, it might be a good thing if those things happen early in the relationship.
And so you know.
Yeah, so that we know. Fortunately, okay. I'm with somebody who is, he can handle it, and he's a great actor as well, so.
Does he have a brother? I mean, I'm asking for a friend.
He has cousins.
He got cousins?
Yeah,
okay.
He got cousins.
Do they live in LA? I'm also asking for, because you know, Roz is my co-host, and uh-huh. You know, she's single too. Okay. I mean, we're all single. I mean, I'm asking for friends.
I had you, okay.
Are any of their cousins
single? Well, tell your friend to hit me.
Okay.
I feel like she and I should talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably off the mic.
I asked with you. So are you taking notes from Beth? So like even in your relationship, yeah. Are there things that maybe you and your guy watch together uh-huh. and you're like, okay, can we talk about this? Is this something that we can implement in yeah. our, because that honesty and that truth serum and that yeah. openness is yeah. actually, I feel like, what makes you guys such goals.
Yeah,
to watch.
Yeah. There's moments because I am probably, there was a moment that happened the other day, mm-hmm. and I said to myself, wow, what would Beth do? And I felt like she's not afraid to kind of step into the very vulnerable moments, you know, and I feel like that I take that into my relationship or even with friends, you know what I mean? I had a friend who needed comfort in a moment, and mm-hmm. I felt like I was given the person comfort, but I was sitting maybe about 3 feet away from them. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I was being there for them, but there was no personal contact connection. And it did run through my mind. I was like, oh, what would Beth would kind of probably hug? You know what I mean? Ooh. Or like really be there, like make the space more intimate.
Yeah.
And I did that. And it was the first time that it ever ran through my mind. And I was like, oh, snap. Did I really just do that? And I said, oh, yeah. Okay, I guess it starts to rub off. You know what I mean? I mean, have you had a moment like that you...
What would Molly do?
Yeah.
I have moments, like, after you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm telling myself. Yeah. After we shot season one, mm-hmm. and I remember going on a date, I had to pep myself up, like, don't make no Molly mistakes, okay? Don't be asking excessive questions out here. Like, let him talk.
Right.
You know, like, let's not be making plans to go to Tahiti and this is date number two. You know, like, right. I had to just be like, don't make Molly mistakes. Because I called them Molly mistakes.
Okay.
But I like this, what would Beth do? So I'm going to hit you with a series of questions,
okay.
right?
Let's do it.
And I'm going to need to know what Beth would do uh-huh. and or what Susan would do, right?
Okay, gotcha.
So, and I'm going to just take one from the storyline. So Jack, there's this chick at work mm-hmm. who was, you know, trying to sense that there might have been some tension at home.
Right.
And, you know, Jack had a vulnerable moment. He's at the bar and she's, you know, put the hand on the knee.
Did
like,
you see that?
Hey, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like,
you know, she caressed the knee.
Listen, mm-hmm. I can sense. This.
Right.
They like, Becky with the good hair?
Right.
Beyonce talked about you. Beyonce put you with lemonade. We know about the Becky's with the good hair. So if a Becky with the good hair tried to take Beth's position or tried to present herself in Randall's life, what would Beth do?
I wish they could see my face right now. Did you see her?
Beth is from Brooklyn. Okay. Let me tell you. Beth's dying. She doing or she dying. Somebody dying. What would Beth do?
If he tried to... Okay. So if a woman tried... She put the hand on the knee and all that?
Yeah.
Did I see it?
And you,
or did I just hear about it?
You know what? You pick.
Okay. Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm going to hit you with the what would Sue do first.
What would Sue...
Because Sue would be like, all right, Sue has enough confidence to say, look, we know what we have in this relationship. I'm going to let you handle that.
Eight.
If I'm not there.
Yo, this is a real woman right here. I'm going to let you handle that.
Okay. Handle that. If I see it, if I had to see it, it went too far.
Eight.
Do you see what I mean? Because
okay.
I feel like guys have enough sense to know when something's coming or if it, you know what I mean? Something went, you know.
Ooh.
And I'm not... I'm not so good at controlling my instinct in that situation. Not that I'm, you know,
so,
I'm
so
not.
This is
I'm
still
nobody's.
Sue. This is still Sue. Because Beth be controlling.
Yeah,
her.
Beth be controlling. Okay. I'm nobody's real housewife. Okay, and let's not set it up like I'm about to beat somebody down the middle of the street. But like, but she would definitely get a stern talking to.
Okay. Oh.
She might get pulled aside. You know what I mean?
Right then and there.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay. Just have like a little, or just, I can step into the moment and just, you know.
So you're not about to have like a Monica Brandy, the boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy.
No, you know, I fight over that. Because you know what? Okay. At the end of the day, he can go and do what he wants to do. You know, the world is going to keep spinning and everybody's going to survive. But.
So Sue is going to man up. Homie, if she wasn't there and mm-hmm. be like, handle that.
Yeah, he should
and,
handle that.
And or be like, excuse me, miss. No, yeah. We're not going to do this today.
Right, right, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what would Beth do?
Beth is interesting. I think Beth, it seems to me like Beth could give Randall a look. Do you know what I mean? It feels like Beth could just lay a hand on a shoulder. You know what I mean? And he would know exactly what to do. I feel like Randall would be also very uncomfortable if that happened. I think he might be a little shook.
I feel like Beth would come up, see the hand on the knee, look at Randall, and then just look at the young lady.
Yeah, yeah.
And with a smile.
Yeah. And that's
just
what she needs.
And just because sometimes you gotta make it awkward for everybody.
Everybody.
Just linger and let's hold this moment.
Yeah, let's make this a threesome moment. I feel like she would insert herself like, oh, ooh, you thought it was gonna be the two of you. It's three of us now.
You know what? And I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. Okay. All right. So let's keep putting Beth in a real uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
You out at dinner. It's your anniversary, it's your birthday.
Oh,
you,
okay, yes.
You with Randall. Mm-hmm. And you ran into your ex.
Okay.
Because that is what happened to Kate. She saw the ex-wife.
Right, right.
You run into your ex. What do you do? But I don't know if Randall knows your ex.
Right.
Or and your ex is like Idris Elba.
Oh.
Your ex is fine.
Oh. All
right. Hey. Oh. You know, because Beth knows how to pull him.
Yeah, right.
Beth knows how to pull him.
Right, right. Okay, so Idris comes back.
Idris comes back and... You know, I don't know if you and Randall are in a vulnerable position or maybe y'all are good or whatever.
Right, right.
But enough time has passed and you know, hard feeling with you and your ex, maybe. Right. I don't know what the backstory is. You just went into your ex. What does Beth
I run
do?
Into my ex. You know, my ex comes up. He says, "Hey, baby girl, how you been?" You know, I say, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, this is my husband, Randall. Randall, this is Idris.
Hey!
Am I pronouncing it right? Because I don't.
Idris.
It's Idris. Okay, yeah. This is Idris.
What if you're not at the table? What if Randall sees you talking to your ex because you got up and that's how that scene played out? You got up and it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh,
right.
And Idris might have the handle, you know, the dude put the hand on the shoulder.
Right.
Or the smaller
the back. Oh, no.
You know about the smaller
he's
the back.
Trying to, yeah.
Well, dude, don't put the hand on the smaller the back.
I would have to move that hand. I would have to move that hand.
And Randall peeps this. So now you come back to the table, sans Idris. What is that conversation?
And Randall asked me,
"Hey, babe,
who was that
tall, dark, chocolate Godiva bar?
Right,
that had his hand on the small of your back.
Right. Well, obviously that must be Beth's type because girl, Beth got a type. You know what I mean, honey? You know that's my type. but yeah, no, I would say that's." You know, we dated in whenever, and I just ran into him at the bar, and, you know, that's it. You know he ain't got nothing to worry about. Randall know he's good. Come on, Beth is in it for the long haul. Randall knows he's good. And I feel like the only thing that somebody would have over Randall, if anything, would be that, you know, Beth was steeped in her culture growing up, and he wasn't. Yes. You know what I mean? So that's sort of like that opposites attract type of thing. But I feel like they're so solid and so married at this point.
They
ain't nobody
are
coming
so
up
married.
In the midst of that. Yeah.
I mean, it's such a beautiful union. Do you think that people look at Randall and Beth like they look at President Barack and First Lady Michelle?
Somebody said that. I know that a few people tweeted that. That, like, we were their favorite couple after Barack and Michelle, which I think is just such crazy. High praise. But, you know, and the other thing is that they're real.
They're real.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, but the fact is, like, I think that because we fiend for that, we fiend to see those type of relationships between a black couple on television. And then I think because it's honest, even, you know, white people, black people, Asian people, whatever, can still see it as a relationship goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I love, you know, there was an interview and I think you said, or in the interview, they said, Beth knows when to clap back and when to fall back. You know, she knows how to, you know what you're not going
right,
to do.
Right, right,
she knows when to clap back how to, and when to, hey, the top pop.
Yeah, she knows how to.
First of all. Okay.
Remember what?
Uh-huh. So, and you do it so masterfully. It's so nuanced. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch Beth, it's almost like, did she just play him? She just played him. Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. I don't even think Randall has processed the fact that she just played him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I personally got the clap back part down.
Right.
I'm African.
Right.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
If you just call me ahead, like, you know, like, I got that part down.
And I'm Jamaican, so you know it's, yeah.
So how do you balance, this is balancing Beth. How mm-hmm. do you clap back in love? So this is a two-part question. How do you clap back in love?
I already see where you're going with it. I got it.
So this is the answer part one. How do you clap back in love?
I think you got to maintain respect. That's how you clap back. As long as I'm not trying to demean you in some way, emasculate you in some way, to, you know, trying to tear you down personally.
Okay.
If I'm talking about the issue, you know what I'm saying? And clapping back on the issue that we're talking about.
Okay.
You can clap back all day.
But now how do you keep people on point, on topic? Because sometimes when you talk about the issue, uh-huh. people want to bring other issues. Hey,
yeah.
wait, let's right. focus back.
Let's keep talking about the thing that we're talking about. I mean, even if it goes there, it doesn't have to turn into all types of, see, this is why I don't ever, and this is why, because the last time, you don't have to throw all that stuff. Because
Beth don't raise her voice.
She doesn't. That's surprising. Yeah, she does.
And that's why I feel like it's so masterfully. That's mm-hmm. why I'm like, I feel like she just got me.
But you know, some people are more powerful when they don't. I'm saying?
So is that her superpower? Like,
maybe she's more this something that, you know, for her, it's just more controlled in a way.
Is that a choice that you made, or is that was no, that direction?
I don't think it's either. I think it just became her. I don't think I made, the only choice I made for Beth when I went into this, I thought, she's the type of person who sees everything wide-eyed. She doesn't come into a situation judging the situation. That's the only thing I told myself. I said, if you can keep being sort of just wide-eyed about this and just take in the information before you respond.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I had set for her.
What I appreciated, too, about your character is that episode where William spills the bean mm-hmm. that he knew Randall.
Oh, right.
and you straight up confront, like, no, you gonna tell him? Oh, I'm gonna tell him.
Right.
Like, it's call me, I got to talk to you. Oh, you gonna phone my phone calls? Okay. Oh, she think I'm playing. This whole thing I'm playing. And then the first, like, you just beeline to the door. Happy Thanksgiving. Okay, so you got about 2 hours. Now, that's the more gangster side.
Yeah. I caught her while she was hanging up her coat. I was like, oh, you gonna just hang up your coat? You're just gonna hang up your coat in my house.
You're just gonna walk in, like, you don't know why I'm calling. Like, oh, you been too busy?
You're just gonna bring pies and hang up your coat.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So that's, I feel like that's, it was clap back, but it was like, she was willing to risk it all.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you have, I mean, think about that. Somebody kept this. That's huge, because the thing that happens is that it will implicate me. Now I'm in this. Exactly. Y'all done brought me up in this.
And you're going to mess up my happy
home. You're going to mess up this. You're going to mess me up. Because the longer I keep this, then I become a liar.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? That's really what
Even
it said.
Even though you knew the truth would hurt your man.
Yes, but what's going to happen now? Now he's going to turn and be like, and now you knew and you didn't say anything.
Got it.
What can I do? You guys put me in a bad situation.
Now,
you know?
I listen, that integrity.
Yeah.
That's I feel like that's it. You're talking about the integrity and realness mm-hmm. of a relationship, because that is what keeps trust. Because mm-hmm. once trust is broken, now.
Well, yeah, what can you do?
And even that's why Randall, I appreciate that Randall was like, that's why you don't have a list.
Well, that's what Love Jones taught us. They were like, you know, when Darius and Nia were in the room, he was like, he said something like, how you love me if you don't even trust me?
That's
Do you remember that?
That's it.
I mean, if we've learned nothing from the book of Love
if
Jones.
If we have learned nothing
else.
I got a Love Jones. Take it away, baby.
I got a Love Jones for you. Yes.
That's it. I can only come in on the end.
Got it.
Now, okay, so we get the clap back, but now the fall back, now that's difficult for a lot of women.
That's very hard.
Especially women of color. I'm not going front. That fall back part, that like, oh, you just want me to hold my tongue.
Yeah.
I've been practicing. It's so funny because I grew up with three older Nigerian brothers, plus a father who's a chief. You know, like my tendency is like, no, you won't hear me.
Yeah.
You won't hear me.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's beneficial for everybody.
Right.
Is something I work on. And so now I find myself, when I'm presented with a situation where I could clap back, I say, you know, I'm learning how to be a wife. So, and it throws people off because they're like, hold up, wait, is this
a
Jedi mind trick? What's going on? So what advice can you give to people who haven't quite perfected the fallback?
I think if you don't see it as a weakness, it might be helpful. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, don't think of it not as falling back. Think of it as timing. I'm going to wait for a better time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
are y'all listening to this? I hope whoever is listening. Right, if you're single, if you married, if you're thinking about a relationship, write this down. Girls and dudes, like, she has given nuggets. And if you're a dude listening to this, just make sure you play this podcast in front of your girl. And be like, oh, let's listen to this together.
I think guys appreciate that. They appreciate, like, because men are not, I grew up like you, three brothers, my dad, my mom, who's strong as all hell. And they aren't stupid. You know what I mean? They know if you give them a second, they know, especially if they know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you don't say nothing. Sometimes that's even more powerful. It's timing. It's not like, oh, I'm going to sit back and be, you know, if you believe so, some people talk about, you know, submission. It feels like submissive. But, you know, submission is sort of getting behind somebody else's mission. If you believe in their mission and it's something you can get behind, then that might be the position you want to be in, and you hope that they would do the same for you. But
that's why you are awesome, sixth man of the year. That's why, because she understands how to play your position.
Right. You just play, you know, you just, and you be a little more patient than you would normally be so that you don't, you're not barking anything or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you might wait for a time where you can actually be heard. You know what I mean? It can drop in a different way. So I think when she falls back, it's more waiting for a more opportune time to say something. And it's also realizing, like, look, this dude is at a place in his life where something huge is happening.
It's real.
It's real. And if you love him, you know how important this is to him. So I'm not, you know, I'm trying to let him have the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's a specific moment. And it's like, I need to let him have this.
Which, it's so funny. I think about that the episode where Randall is trying to, everyone's kind of crapping on him for what he does because nobody knows what he actually does. He trades commodities.
Yeah, for weather.
Yeah, it's something.
Please
and it's
don't ask
career
me.
Day. And,
yeah.
And he barges it. I love that Randall is equal parts cool, equal parts awkward.
Right.
Because he just barged in and he's just like, guys, I'm learning to play the piano. Yeah. And and he just walks out and the girl's like, Mommy, what just happened? And I love your response. That was just a small midlife crisis. It's a small one. Like,
right.
you don't take him seriously,
right.
But you're like, you know,
don't take it too seriously.
Not today. Let the man have his piano.
My sister told me, she said, because I think her marriage is like outstanding, and she told me, she said, you know, the biggest part of marriage is compromise and make each other laugh, like be able to laugh.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I've watched her have like this stunning marriage. Like, she made me believe in marriage. I watch her marriage and I go, oh, you can really live in that honeymoonish place for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And have kids who become like your crew and your team. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, so I've
yeah, because your girls
that.
Are a mate. Like, I'm almost like,
well behaved, right?
Y'all raised these girls. Like, it's almost like I forget that somebody wrote the script and these girls are amazing actors, but I'm watching the show like, I want this family.
Right.
All the girl, the little girl's like, Mommy, what's dad? Like, what the heck?
Right.
Like, but so cute that you're like, I gotta answer this question. Or
right,
like,
right.
But it's almost like, y'all did a good job raising this. Oh no, they're reading the script. That's cool.
But you know, if I've seen it in other households when the parents really get along well, like the kids tend to, you know what I mean, get along well. And so I think it plays through. Yeah.
Now, how do you continue to like each other? Because that's a big part. Like, I love the playful moments. Like, you know, you don't get to see so much of the intimate moments of them. But like, when they're in bed and he's like, you making fun of me? You laughing at me? No, I'm not laughing at you. You got about 5 seconds to get your clothes off. Right. Oh, okay. You know, yeah. It's like, how do you keep it playful? How do you keep it playful?
You know what? I keep thinking to myself, I was like, they're kind of all each other's guy. They're out in the suburb. They by themselves.
But even in your relationship, how does Susan keep it playful in your relationship?
You know, I think I remind us to do it. I remind us to do it. I
kind of go, mine.
Yeah, you gotta keep trying to implement the thing that you want. You know what I mean? You can't let it slip. You kind of have to stay on top of it. I think most of us think you get in a relationship, you get with somebody you love, and then it all falls into place. Mm. And I think, no, I think you still continue to, like anything else, you don't get into a career and then go, oh, I can stop working now. Yeah. I just.
But what if you're a member of resistance?
Yeah, that's hard.
So you know, what if, because you, yeah. I love that you said you have to remind, mm-hmm. you're like, because sometimes you do, you're like, hey, we're in this.
Yeah.
Like, me and you.
Yeah, we want to be here, right? So let's keep.
I still like you, and I want to like you tomorrow, but right now, I want to stab you. Right. But how do you remind mm-hmm. each other of that when it's a little bit more tougher or where there's resistance?
You know what? It's communication. People say it for, I think it's, you know, for thousands of years. It really is communication. You gotta be in a space where I can really talk to this person about some real stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you're invested in keeping the relationship, then hopefully you can talk about things that, no matter how vulnerable they are, no matter how corny it sounds, no yeah. matter how weird, you know, really, we're gonna talk about how we can stay fun and exciting to each other. Well, yeah, because you know, like anything else, mm-hmm. you always have to do a check-in and sort of reevaluate and then move from there.
And I think it goes back to what you said about not looking at the fallback as a weakness.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is, it's like, well, if he the man, right. if he, you know, it's just like, he should look, know, he the head.
Yeah. And he should have it right. And look, I've been, all this time, I've been waiting for him to come. And, you know, we do so much, women do so much waiting and hoping and praying. We do so much. Yes. And we paint this picture in our minds. And then we ask this guy, whoever it is, to step into this role, you know. And we just got to get real about, no, this is the person yeah. that I'm with. This is who I want to be with.
Yeah.
So we got to do what we need to do. And it's not what the next couple is doing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because like, every team is different.
Every team is different. You might be doing a whole different thing that makes your thing work.
Because a marriage is literally like a team. Like it's oh, and it it's a it's, you're playing horse. It's just yeah, y'all playing horse. It's like y'all on the same team. You right. got the same jersey, and if you may or may not add some new players,
right?
But baby, it's us,
and we gotta stay on the same team. You know, the team mm-hmm. can't divide, and all of a sudden it's feeling like, dang, why are you on that team and I'm on this team? And we're saying we're fighting for the same thing, but we're on two different sides.
Team us.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It has to stay. You have to stay on the same team. And I don't know. I think anything that's worth it to me takes a certain amount of work. Now, when the work feels like, oh my God, I'm just working and this is just not.
I've been working a slave ship and I ain't mad. I wish that I could just buy me a spaceship. That Kanye first album, like that. Yeah, no, that's real.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, that's why I don't necessarily. Here's my thing. I don't believe that submission is a dirty word. Like, mm-hmm. Me and you, we were mm-hmm. raised in immigrant backgrounds, right. strong mothers, mm-hmm. like, you know, I was washing my mom's car. I was mowing the lawn. Right. I was like, well, listen, if nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it because this is a need that needs to be met, right. whatever. For me, I'm like, I cannot wait to submit. Like, I cannot wait. You got this? Let me tell you. Hey, I'm giving you my load. Please, carry on, go. Like, I want to just lay it at somebody's
right,
feet.
Right, right.
But here's the thing that a lot of women struggle with. I know me. It's just that, like, if I take the weight off.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fall.
Mm, mm.
Or like you drop the load. Like yeah. at some point you drop. And then it's like I got to pick it back up.
Mm.
So now I'm carrying the old load. But now I got new load.
Well.
Hey.
Listen. I'm going to tell you like this. I think that's how it go. Look.
You said
I think that's how it go. Because the longer you're in something, somebody else is going to have moments where they're weak and they need you to pick up the ball and carry it. You're going to have moments where you need them to pick up the ball and carry. We're in a world now where it's changing, like, mm-hmm. you know, the quote unquote roles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're it's blurred. All the lines are blurred. And And like I said, for me, submission has meant to find somebody whose mission you are comfortable and you feel good about supporting.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Who feel about getting behind, whose missions you want to get underneath and help it to rise. And I hope that, you know, they would feel the same way about what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's like a, whoo, now I ain't got to do, you know.
Yeah, true. You know what I mean? Always doing work.
You always got to kind of.
You're right. Because that's unrealistic expectations.
Right.
But to that point, that's why I really like the turn that you had post William's death,
mm-hmm.
where for the first time we really do see Beth like, hold up. What about me? You got to have your road trip. He left these girls a memorial to plan.
Right.
It's like that scene of Love and Basketball where she's like, do I get a minute yet? And he was like, I make enough money to keep your talent. Gucci. Sorry, I love Love and Basketball. Yeah, I will always refer to Love
too.
And Basketball.
Well, the trilogy is.
But you know that scene. I want to talk about when he comes home and he's like, I got to travel. And she's like, well, do I get a minute? But
wait, which scene is that? Because I love Love and Basketball.
That's the scene
Is it Sinan?
It's the mama,
oh,
right?
It's the mama.
So
okay.
It's Quentin's mom. And
okay.
So she's like, hey, you know, like, where you going? He's like, oh, I got to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hold on. I came second to the NBA. I'm not about to come second to some BS recruiting job.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
You know, and
yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then we find out he was cheating on her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she was right to get upset. But, you know, I really appreciated that part because for the first time, without you having to say it, you pretty much was like, yo, I've been holding this ship afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody stopped to think about how this was affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm mad at the situation. I'm letting you know I'm mad at him.
Right.
You know, and it's not really until she gets the postcard and it's just like, even in his dad.
What would Beth do?
Yeah.
I'm hugging Yvonne right now.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I mean, talk a little bit about the strength, because all of the women on the show, because, you know, it is Women's History Month, and all of the women on the show have their own strength. They have their own struggles.
Absolutely.
And their own strengths. And that's what we face every day, you know, like, with this new presidency. It's like, we have to fight for the things that are important to us, and we have to fight for equal pay. We have to fight for, in society, there's so much that women have to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about just the strength of the women on the show, and like, is that on purpose? And what does that say about the larger climate that we find ourselves in?
You know, what Dan has done is so smart, because he constantly surrounds himself with people who are smart.
Ooh, I like that.
And he makes sure that the writer's room is filled with men, women, black, white, you know, different types of people, people who can speak to different types of issues.
Great.
And then the you know, it's Mandy, myself, Chrissy. We have a perspective and a point of view as well. And we are not just the characters, but we're advocate for those characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, as you are for Molly, you know, we are sort of the vessel who those characters flow through. So everyone has some type of, I think, connection,
mm-hmm.
you know, some innate connection to the character that they're playing. And so we just keep fighting for these women, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a way you're fighting for their voice, you know, and it's not met with opposition on our set. Like, you can fight for it, you
yeah.
know, you can fight for it. And it's interesting. I watch it with Mandy's character to be able to start off and say, hey, yeah, you know, first she didn't want to get married. She didn't want to have kids. Now she's married with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go back to saying, hey, you know, I originally wanted this for my life. You know what I mean? And a lot of people look at that and they say, you know, a woman, once you have kids and a husband, well, that's why,
that's
you know.
That's when you start.
That's
when you start living.
Yeah, that's it. Now, that's sort of ungrateful, or it's, you know, women are made to feel like if you're not completely satisfied by that, you know, wow.
And there's a lot that comes with that, because, you know, recently LeBron, he spoke very candidly about, like, how he had to apologize to his wife. Because
yeah.
he was like, you know, in my quest for greatness,
because
he's like, I'm trying to be the best that ever did
yeah.
it, the best that ever came
the GOAT.
Before.
Yep.
Real talk. And he said, in that journey to becoming the greatest, you know, the greatest player ever to play the game, he said, you know, at times he lost focus of how important family was. Mm. And he lost focus of how important his wife was, mm-hmm. and the kids. And he's like, he apologized and said, like, pretty much, I'm sorry. Mm. In my desire to be the best, there is a burden you had to carry. Mm. And I think that's a lot of the women on the show have to carry that burden.
Yeah, yeah. That is,
And sometimes a lot of husbands don't apologize. It's just expected.
Yeah.
You know, but I love that with Beth, she did carry this burden.
Yeah. You know, that and his wife, I mean, you know, round of applause
shout out to all the women holding down.
Really holding it down.
Strong men.
Because you know what? Many men choose women. I think that's an underlying quality that they're looking for. Somebody that they know is going to be able to hold it down because they know what their aspiration is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you look at, when I saw our first lady, I was going to stay my first lady, Michelle Obama speak with Oprah, you know, on her last interview before they left the White House. Oh, dear God. And she...
Moment of silence.
I know. Just hold on. All right, I'm together.
I'll be back.
And I'm back. And I saw how just phenomenal this woman was. It made all the sense in the world why she is President Obama's wife.
Yeah.
It just made all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
I was like, and it made him even smarter to me.
Because it's like, you don't be afraid of a strong woman.
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny. There's a comedian that I know. His name is Ron G. Mm-hmm. And he has a set. And he was like...
You know Ron G. I used to follow comedians. I know Ron G.
You know Ron G?
Yeah.
Shout out to Ron G. Mm-hmm. He has this joke. And it pretty much goes, hoes don't make soup. He's like, you realize, it's so sad, but he's like, you realize, you know, everybody who wants a model chick and all that, he's like, get sick. You realize quickly, hoes don't make soup. You know, because it's like, they can't put an Instagram filter on that. Like, they can't. And it's hysterical to think about his talk. And, you know, we're not calling nobody a hoe. Like I said, it's Women's History Month. I'm trying to elevate and uplift all women. But it's interesting for the people, for the dudes who are afraid of the strong woman, you know, white, black, Latino. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
But it's for those brothers who are ready to move on to something greater. That's like the brothers who, you know, you're talking about LeBron James now. So this, you know, he's looking for, you see what he's trying to do with his life.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
he needs somebody that can make soup.
Yeah, he needs somebody to make soup. I need that thick soup with the chicken
the
in
thick.
It. Dumplings, all that.
Mama made miracles something stick to your every bones. Thanksgiving. Yes. You see?
You know, he knows what he's doing. So at the same time, that's the type of relationship I think. I'm learning about the relationship with y'all. Look, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know... as we go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
in terms of like episode to episode, I just know as we go. So a lot of what I'm learning about how people perceive the relationship is through the feedback that I'm getting, you know?
How has Beth made you a better partner? Or not?
Oh, no. That's good. I don't know. I think... Yeah, I don't know.
Is she you and you are her? Like, are you one? And so...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I try to keep her separate. Like, for me, acting is the most fun when I'm not doing a character that's just like me. So I try to be... Even though Beth is very natural. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she, she just feels like natural to you.
Just, you know, like your normal human being. I try to still make her very different from me because I want her to be something. I want to have that feeling of creating somebody.
Has your guy ever been like,
hey,
Susan, you see that thing that Beth did?
Yeah.
You want to try implementing that?
No, but what he did tell me, he said to me one time, he said, babe, you said that to him the way you say that to me. I said I love you to Sterling, and he is like he hit me on the phone. He's like, yeah, you so kind of said something the way and I said, but you know what, babe, when I did it, I knew I did it when I did it because I actually chose to do that.
Ooh.
I chose to do it because it, to me, it made sense. They had it written, you know, she says, he says, I love you. And she says, I love you too. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am going to borrow this. Because anytime my guy says, I love you, I always say, I love you. Because I don't want it to ever be just a response, uh-huh. like an automatic. You know, I love you too is because somebody said,
I love you first. Yeah.
But I will always want it to be a decision that I'm making to say it back. Mm. And I feel like Beth could use that in this moment. Because they were coming out of a place of, it was in the Memphis episode, uh-huh. and she didn't want him to go.
She didn't want him to go.
And he was there and they having a good time. So when he said, everything's a little better with a little Beth on it.
That's what he said. He said, like Beth is some adobo seasoning, you know, sprinkle a little Maggie cube. Yeah. Everything's better with a little Beth on it.
All I did was adobo the chicken.
Hey.
So that was the moment I said, yeah, I feel like she's not going to say I love you too. I think she's going to choose to say I love you.
So your guy called relationship on you. Your guy was like,
hey, that looks familiar.
That's for us.
And I said, you know, you're right. But that's, you know,
did he roll up on
being
sir,
that observant, huh?
He rolled up on set to Sterling like, listen, player, you better get, what's Sterling's wife name, Randy?
Ryan.
Ryan, yeah. Sorry, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, you better get you and Ryan.
Listen. It's funny, my man did show up to set the next, no, he didn't. Ah! He was not there.
I know we only got you for a couple more minutes. Yeah. Now you and Randall, Beth and Randall are relationship goals. Mm-hmm. Like hands down. You can't tell me any couple who doesn't want to be like you guys. Now on our show, Issa and I was about to call him Jay. No, Issa and Lawrence. Mm-hmm.
They have a few issues going on.
They got some issues. Mm-hmm. So now if you could be Issa's fairy godmother,
okay.
you know, who got a couple years into this whole marriage yeah. thing. Mm-hmm. What advice? Cause, you know, I don't know. Season two, we're still working on it. We don't know where we're going to be. Like, right. What advice would you give to Issa and Lawrence to get them back on track?
All right. Here we go.
What would Beth give? What would Beth do?
What would Beth do? All right. Let's sit down and say, is this where you really want to be? Do you really want to be with this guy? Or is it just comfortable?
Now you know what Issa did, though.
Yeah.
Can it be fixed? Like, if Beth did that to Randall.
Uh-huh.
I know it would hurt. But you how would she fix this? How can it be fixed?
Can it be fixed? All right. So he had some clapback cuz he banked a chick.
Yeah, she got her battery.
When that was going to pop off. Honey, they weren't playing around. He said, "I'm going to make sure."
Yes.
Make sure we know that this mm-hmm. is going down. So I think that I would say I'm not big on the cheating thing for uh-huh. me is like a deal breaker.
Okay.
But not for everybody. So it seems like he now went and did his thing. She went and did her thing. Mm-hmm. I think she really needs to sit and think, does she really want to be with this guy?
Okay.
Does she really want to? Or was she just really comfortable and she's kind of scared of like, what will life be without him? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for him, I mean, he seemed like he really loved her. He just wasn't really holding it down. You know, the job situation. You know, he got too comfortable. Don't you think? I think he got a bit complacent.
At the moment mm-hmm. that Issa stepped out, they had decided to be all in.
That's true.
You know, so.
But it was after she stepped out, wasn't it? It was right after, no?
No, she...
Yeah, because she came back and then they kind of, you know, fell back into the groove of each other. And that's when dude texted her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up? And then he started getting all stalker-like, showing up at the
job. Showing up at the job.
Showing up at the job, bro.
I mean, but he did look good, though.
Yeah, I know. That was Achilles. Showed up looking like that, though. Why you have to show up looking like that?
See. So now we getting off. See, this is
okay, I'm sorry.
See, Daniel got... He about to lead Beth astray. See, but that's your type. That's your type because you got Idris.
Right, and that
you got
Idris.
You got Randall.
Yeah.
Now you got Daniel. See?
Right.
Beth got a type.
Wow.
Now, okay. Switching gears a little bit mm-hmm. to Molly because I think Molly is the precursor to the Beth, right? Mm-hmm. Molly's precursor to Beth.
Yeah.
Like, we all want Molly to end up where Beth is. Because right now, Molly's a mess. Jesus
right.
Christ. Help her.
Right.
Help me help Molly because yeah. I'm about to embody her again real soon.
Okay.
Help me help Molly. How does Molly get to Beth's status to get a Randall?
Here's what's going on with Molly. Here's what's up with Molly. Molly is trying to say, okay, I need a husband, so this guy, let's see if this guy's gonna be my husband. Let's see if that guy's gonna be my husband. It's like she's sort of like, instead of just being like, let's just see where, if we like each other, let's see how, let's take this a little bit slower.
But she ain't got no time, man.
Why she ain't got no time? Ain't got nothing but time. I'm about 29. What she need? She a lawyer, she 29. What all they need? Tell me. Talking to the mic, I can't hear you. What does she need?
She need love. When she alone in her room, she take a look at the wall and she understand.
She hears her conscience call?
She hear her conscience call.
What's her conscience saying? Because I seen her with the dude, with the young dude.
Yeah, but young dude ain't go to school. You know what I mean? Like, see, you know what? Molly is like, wait, Beth is a career woman. Mm-hmm. She married a dude that even though she don't know what she do, he does for a living, she knows he brings out the bacon. Right. He wears a tie to work.
Right.
He's a suit and tie corporate dude. He gets her. Molly don't want to be with the enterprise dude. And that's a prerogative because Beth isn't with the enterprise dude.
Okay.
So how does Molly get what Beth?
But does Molly want to be with the enterprise dude? It's just that he work at Enterprise.
That's it. She wants enterprise qualities without enterprise tag.
Okay, got it. Okay, so
enterprise is about to just not sponsor this. They were like, first of all, you're not gonna keep talking about
right.
it.
Right. So if he went to Hertz, would she be all right?
Yeah, did I hurt your feelings? He's just a jerk for that lie. But you know what I mean? She wants the suit and tie dude.
Okay, got it.
So, and Beth got the suit and tie dude.
She did, but check it out. But Beth didn't want to get married. There was, when Ron and Beth were in the backyard high talking, she was like, you know, I grew up in a house of 14 people. I didn't even want children. I didn't want to be married. I met your husband and he changed that for me.
Met your son.
You know what I mean? Yeah, sorry, I met your son and he, you know, changed that for me. So
you're trying to say Molly should not want it as much. No,
I'm trying to say that look how I started. It's not what I didn't actually get the thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That I wanted. And so maybe your thing is in a different package. Yes.
You were pleasantly surprised by Randall.
Yeah, I thought my package was live some artist life. Let me just do my thing. Get on how I'm going to get on. But my package was Randall. Mm-hmm. So you might think I want this suit and tie guy. But your package might be
Enterprise
rental car.
Yeah, Molly.
They pick
sure
you up.
Molly not sure she want to open up that package or open up that. she wants her to pick up the dude next door.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, this is why.
So this is why she's where she.
Yeah,
at.
This is why she's where she. Because Molly don't take no help.
Molly don't take. See, this is how she and Issa got in the fight.
That's
Issa
how they got in the fight, right? Because she can try to give you a little help, try to be real, try to be your sister.
I don't know why I'm defending Molly. Like Molly, you stop. Molly, stop talking and listen to Beth. I feel like because you know people ask for crossover episodes all the time. Like, yo, there should be an Atlanta Insecure crossover.
Right, right.
And I saw that Brian Tyree was doing it. I said, you better be working.
Yes.
And that song.
Did you know that it went number one on the blues charts?
That song is amazing.
Hello.
I'm downloading
Hello.
It.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That song
yeah.
is amazing.
It's there for download.
But I feel like, you know, Molly should just have a what would Beth do just Rubik's Cube or 8-ball or something. You know, I don't know how we tie that in.
Right.
Because you're going to be busy because y'all coming back for season 2, 3. I think y'all got extended to season 5 or something like that. Y'all,
we got extended till season 3. And y'all got a season 2.
You got a season 2.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I think I might be calling you personally. I might be calling Susan.
Got you.
For Beth advice for Molly.
I'll just forward you pages from the script.
Listen, Insecure writers, I'm not, everything you write is amazing. I'm trying to help Molly out because she needs help.
But you know what? I'm rooting for Molly.
Are you rooting for Molly?
I am rooting for Molly because at heart she really wants love.
That's all she wants.
She's just kind of looking for it in a weird way.
What if it's the way you know how to, that's the only way you know how to.
But she's learning. I feel like she's kind of learning it. Don't you think? I feel like she's learning from her experiences as she's going. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Do you think?
I hope so.
You better to tell me.
Listen, we'll find out season 2. Coming out July 23rd. Just dropped. Hot summer 17.
Are y'all shooting right now?
We about to start April 3rd.
We're
premiering behind Game of Thrones and Ballers.
Oh.
So Sunday night is about to be on fire.
So when does Molly's light-skinned cousin come into town?
Issa and Prentice. Molly apparently has a light skinned cousin. You know, so let's figure that out. Because, you know, she does have a hiatus. When, do y'all start back?
We start back at the end of July.
Start back end of July. Mm-hmm. Hey, so, and we wrap end of June. So, listen, Issa, Princess, Dana, if you're listening, Molly might have a light-skinned cousin.
Yeah, you know.
And you know, Sterling has said he, you know, he wanted to do something on the show. So, who knows? It might be a overlap afterwards.
Well, I think there could be a This Is Us, you know,
crossover. This Is Us being insecure?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know about y'all, but I have learned so much from the beautiful Miss Susan Kelechi Watson.
Oh, man, the way you say it. Kelechi,
when Jesus said, yes, nobody can say no. Susan Kelechi Watson, if you have not caught up on This Is Us, you see how we didn't give no spoilers on the finale because we don't want that to be your testimony. Like, you'd be like, ah, man, they ruined it for us. But you got 17 or 18 episodes to catch up on. This Is Us is on demand. Pay your cable bill. Watch it. Thank you so much for being amazing. Thank you for being Molly's light-skinned cousin that we may or may not see on Insecure Season 2. But you my light-skinned friend in real life. We go together. Just thank you for being just such an amazing human being and such an amazing talent and giving us the character that is Beth for us to emulate. I mean, you dropped some gems. If you're listening and you're in a relationship, hit us up, or if you're trying to be in a relationship, or if anything she said today really registered with you, hit us up on #ballgirlmagic to let us know, you know, what you thought about this. And if you have more questions, follow up for Beth and for Susan at the same time, because, you know, they are different people. Susan, we already know, will cut you. Beth might give you some real sustainable answers. But let us know what you thought about it. Let us know if you have some follow-up questions. Thank you so much for being with us,
Ben. Oh, girl, thank you for being the beautiful, talented, hilarious, lovely, wonderful you. I'm telling you, this girl is like magnetic. You meet her, you love her. And you ready to roll with her.
That's why you the sixth man of the year. That's why she the sixth man of the year. All right, until next time, y'all. See you later. This is my girl, Susan Kelechi Watson. I'm your girl, Yvonne Orgy. Holla at me.
Peace.